The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing good now.
That's good. Glad to hear that. You weren't doing good before?
Not a second ago, no.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes things don't go as you planned.
We're facing each other.
You want to step back a little bit, please? Thanks. In my face. What's going on?
Nothing much. Doing a radio show.
Oh, no. Besides the radio show.
The usual rigmarole.
Like, this will never ever get played on a radio unless someone, like, uses a...
Syndication.
FM transmitter.
Hey, there's an idea.
Why did we
use take over
again?
Something. We can tap into 89X. And on Sunday mornings, they'll hear us and want us really bad.
I want you really bad.
I know. Alrighty then.
No, I'm just trying to think. Why did we use FM transmitters again?
Why did we? What do you mean? Why did we?
That we like plugged them into our like MP3 players? Is that what
so that we could use our iPods and we'd pick up on a station that was not broadcasting anything.
Right. Okay.
There are stations that aren't broadcasting anything. Why can't we have one?
Well, because it's crowded here. It's probably easier to get a radio license.
Feels a little crowded right here.
Like I said, step
easy
back.
To get a radio license? I don't think so. No. Well, if you have the money, yeah.
If you have the money and you're in a market that doesn't have a lot of stations per capita, or like, you know, they're spread out on the dial, as it were.
Sure.
It's probably easier in those places to get a radio station.
And does it matter what kind of music you broadcast? I wouldn't think so. Like, if there's a big rock station in your city and you wanted to start a big rock station, like, does it matter?
Obviously, it doesn't matter. No, if you think that's a viable business decision, you can do whatever you want.
Nothing's viable.
And stay within the rules of the CRTC, of course, because there are rules as far as what you can do on public airwaves. And they're not really public. You're paying for them, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
Publicly available.
And speaking of viability, our show today is on, that's another show in itself, actually, viability, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't think so.
Well, viability in the sense of, do you have something saleable, like a nice ship? Something that's saleable to the public.
I think we can talk about that today.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah, that's what I said. That's what we're going to talk about on the show today. Did I say that?
Oh, I thought you were saying like it was going to be an idea for a show on it.
Well, viability, I was thinking, is that something that could stand up on its own, but on its own. This is...
Today we're going to talk about
based around viability.
Yeah, we're going to talk about branding today.
There you go.
And how important a brand is in music, the music industry as a whole, and should bands have brands? Is it sometimes thought of as like a sellout?
And what is a brand, really?
Yeah,
what is your brand? Like, I mean, because so many things get lumped into that group, like PR and marketing, and you know, and they all play a part, and they're somewhat similar. And you need them all, really. Especially if you're considering branding yourself in some way.
Making this
your life
career.
We're not talking about a hot iron here.
Hot iron.
So, you know.
We should get one of those, though.
Should we?
A Big JD and Lippo in the morning brand.
Yeah. Right on the sides of our heads.
That's a little extreme. Somewhere, like on your shoulder. Like, you know. Like,
on our bums.
Yeah, that's an option.
And take a picture, and then that's our new banner.
Take a picture.
You could just make that in Photoshop.
I can do that in Photoshop. I can whip that up in Photoshop and have that.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I should get one of those Fiverr gigs.
And then if I had that, I wouldn't have to wear the Big JD and Lippo underwear anymore.
Well, right. Yeah. And they are getting a little smelly.
Radio's not scratch and sniff, is it?
You keep saying radio. That's awesome. I like that.
This is radio.
It's radio.
This is the new face of radio.
But without a face at all.
So what's happening with you? Anything spectacular going on?
No, still just plugging away with the other podcast I got, iChart Radio, which is EYE Chart Radio. And doing this show and working and not too much jamming. We got a gig in a few weeks, but...
Mm-hmm. And is that it? Which band?
Tres Cojones.
Okay. Tres Hombres.
Yeah, it's going to be Tres Cojones. It's a Halloween party.
Nice.
Yeah.
Halloween right around the corner.
It is right around the corner.
Christmas is right around the corner.
Shut up.
And a new year.
Front door.
Yeah. 2015. Right around the corner.
Yeah. And we're going to be another year older. So let's just live for the day.
And the news is right around the corner.
Ozzy Osbourne talks new solo compilation, Memoirs of a Madman.
Oh.
Yeah, he wants to put together a...
compilation.
Of... It'd be
a greatest hits.
A greatest hits for Ozzy Osbourne. He wants Osbourne...
Aren't there enough of those around?
Probably. I don't know what Ozzy has as far as like a greatest hits compilation thing. But he says he wants to put out a new compilation to remind fans he's a successful solo artist as well as a member of Black Sabbath.
Does he need to remind us, really?
Well,
we know he's a successful soul.
Sharon wants a brand new pair of shoes.
Yeah. And speaking of Ozzy, he will host a Oz Fiesta 5-day event set in Mexico next spring.
That's when we all fall asleep.
May 17th. No, that's a siesta.
Okay.
May 17th to the 31st, 2015, at the Hard Rock Hotel on the Mayan Riviera. Oz Fiesta will present an opening night welcome party featuring a special acoustic set by Zakk Wylde.
That'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Foo Fighters to live stream this Friday's show from Chicago, which would have been a couple days ago.
Right.
When you're listening to this, but they're doing lots of stuff. Foo Fighters is a pretty big brand.
Absolutely. Probably one of the biggest brands in rock right now.
But is actually, yeah, we'll get into more of that later, but is Foo Fighters a brand? I mean,
absolutely.
How have they branded themselves? You know what I mean? Like, what is...
have they...
What is it about Foo Fighters that makes them a brand? I say no.
I think it's a self-made brand. And we'll go into the history of branding and what the importance was and how people and marketers realized the importance that branding plays. Because before a certain time, you had a brand name. And if we hadn't heard of you before, you weren't a brand name. But if you sold enough stuff, you became a brand name. All right, we'll think about that while we listen to some Firm.
We'll be right back. shoulder. Feel just a little bit colder. Something I got to tell you. I can't keep it inside.
So we're talking about branding on the show today. So let's start off maybe by, I guess we should talk a little bit about what branding is.
Yeah, what is a brand?
Well, a brand is like craft.
Craft is definitely
and
a brand.
It gets shoved down your throats for commercials and whatnot. But branding is an especially powerful marketing tool for creative artists because having a brand is about knowing your authentic, unique gift and communicating that gift to the people you want to attract.
Wow, that's absolutely true. And I never actually thought of it in those terms.
In short, a brand is your vision of who you are and what's that?
In short.
Okay. A brand is your vision of who you are and what you do for your audiences. It encompasses a message that expresses what makes you unique and memorable and distinguishes you from your competition so that your target audience connects with you emotionally and wants to work with you or buy your product or whatever it is.
That's what it's all about, target.
And so that's why I kind of question branding for the Foo Fighters. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they've come, you know, Dave Grohl especially come from somewhere like, you know.
Another brand, Nirvana.
Big band.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know that those bands like it, you know, when I think of branding, I think of something like gimmick, you know what I mean? Like something sure. That's outstanding, that's a something that can sell the band, you know what I mean, as opposed to a talent or a new genre or you know the grunge thing comes up and everybody thinks this band like is there really a brand to that band though?
No.
But there's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that you know we'll talk to and we should get into especially this is kind of neat. 7 tips for musicians who hate branding.
Number 7.
Well, this starts at number 1, so I don't know if they're actually going backwards or whatever, but
okay.
They're just
number
tips
one.
And they're not in any particular order.
Okay, our first tip.
Bands are afraid of the word brand. This guy says you need to brand yourself as long as you create a strong persona.
Number 2?
Number 2, discuss your persona. So at a band meeting, because bands have meetings,
every rehearsal
he says, I want you to talk about your persona. Somebody in the band has an opinion. I want you to talk about why it is you're so scared to look good when you're on stage.
Sure.
Are people scared to look good when they're on stage, do you think? Or do you think they just, it's might be naturally that they have a problem with it? You know what I mean? Like stage fright or whatever the reason is. You know, maybe they would like to have a persona, but it's just not necessarily them, right? Because not everybody has that.
Not everybody
stand
has
there
that.
There and play their song. They might be good.
Yeah. Not everybody has that, for sure. Would you say Dave Grohl has a persona as you were watching him with Nancy?
Absolutely.
Nancy was,
yeah,
of course he does. Yeah.
So does his drummer.
Yes.
And the guitar player, too.
They all let
and
it out.
And bass player, to
a lesser extent.
A little bit lesser extent, yeah. Number 3, be unique. Differentiate yourself from all the other bands out there so people will always remember you.
Very important.
And how do you do that, though? You know, a persona makes you yourself. It is a representation of yourself, and that makes you unique. But I think there's got to be more to it than that. Just yourself, unless you're an outrageous self.
Yeah,
if you're just
outrageous.
Yourself and yourself is just, you know, standing there and, you know, maybe some people play with their back to their audience.
Jim Morrison did it for the beginning of the first part of the Doors' career.
So, but then again, that could be a persona and not everybody does that and it makes it unique and that could be your thing. But now that it's already been done, I don't know. And now a little Ace of Base. This is called Wheel of Fortune.
What you gonna tell your dad's like a wheel of fortune. What you gonna tell your dad if this wheel lets you down? My love is my engine and you might be fuel. Stop acting cool. Just bet you might win. I'm not too cool.
We're gonna make your move. We'll be right back.
little bit of Budgie there from Night Flight, the album Night Flight. And we'll be back with more branding right after this.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And here we are talking about branding as
branding.
Far as
branding.
As far as it pertains to the music industry, you were on...
Was it the pin?
Uniform pin, yeah.
Yeah. Union band. Does mean I have to pay more today?
Yeah. I picked it up when I went to union school.
And he did go to union school.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a union rep or something like that at some point? Would you like to do that?
I'd like for you and I to
probably
be in
a
union.
You're getting a taste of that right now because you just do nothing at work.
Say what?
I'm kidding. No, but I mean, you have a job that allows you a little bit of.
I'm not doing something to the van 8 hours a day.
You're not specifically a line guy right now.
No, I work on the line a couple hours a day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So, number four, have a story. Every band is different, but for us, so whoever these people are that say this, these are different people giving their opinions for this particular blog or whatnot, but yep. Every band is different, but for us it was important to have a story and a theme from the get-go. And who are you going to tell your story to? You tell it to fans while you're on stage? What do you, like, you know, hey, we lived in cars for the first bunch of our, you know what I mean, like some of that stuff is like you know, that adds to the persona of the band when you
sure.
You know, or we lived on the street, or we started out like this and did that. But who are you going to tell that to, especially if you're not like a bigger band? What do? You know,
same local people newspaper. That were told that Jimmy Page was into the occult and he was into witchcraft and demon worship and all that. Who did he tell that to? Probably nobody. But somehow that got out there. You heard it, right?
Yeah. I guess you have to find ways to market those kind of things too, right?
Right. And back then there was certain avenues or whatever. And then in this day and age, there's Facebook and Twitter and whatever. Same with if you read Keith Richards' biography as well. It's interesting what he says about his persona and how it was perceived. And he said he never fed that idea of his persona to anybody. It was just something somebody else said. And he, by not saying anything, it just,
yeah.
It lights a fire and it goes wild. And he had nothing to do with it. Somebody made something up or a story got twisted to the point where it was outrageous. And he didn't say it was wrong. He didn't say it was right. He just let it happen.
Yeah,
and he said it always worked out in his favor to create this persona that really isn't him at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be a good thing. Because if it didn't happen,
yeah,
and you know, he might not have that persona. So act the part. So make sure you're acting in a way that you want your band to be represented. Plan out things like when and where you're playing and how often and when you'll release new material. You have to watch yourself because others are always watching you. So a lot of people don't like to watch themselves or videotape themselves and see what you might be doing wrong and that kind of thing. Do you?
I can't stand listening to the show, but I do it. I do listen.
Oh, yeah. You don't like to listen to the show? And why is that? Because you don't like listening to yourself talk? Or?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just like.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I feel
uneasy, but I do it. I blare through it. And usually it's just at the beginning, first 5-10 minutes. I'm like,
then you're okay.
And then I'm okay. And I just listen.
And what is it about it, though? Is it listening to yourself, like, basically? What about playing, like when you watch your videos or your band or anything like that?
No, I like that. That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Unless I suck. There's a lot of tunes where I...
What if you were singing? If you're singing a tune, does that...
Yeah, I can't sing very good. I'm very limited.
You got that little tuner pedal.
I do.
Does it work good?
If you tune it to... Like, if there's a certain range that
I can go
in.
Yeah, you can't go too high.
And so if I go into a key that I know that my range is super limited, it starts sounding very computer generated. You know what I mean? Gets that share, believe effect happening to it.
That's pretty good. But you can use that, say, if you were doing an acoustic song by yourself and there was nobody else, so you're going to hear everything and the nuances and whatnot. The pedal will still work good, like, for the most part, yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I have that software, and it's fantastic. I just wondered how the pedal thing...
Well, you dial it to whatever key you're playing it in.
Yeah.
So it'll restrict whatever you sing to that key.
It just takes it from there?
Well, you plug your guitar into it, so that's how it knows what key you're playing in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't have to do that, but... It'll get more of a cue from what you play through your guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you're playing a C chord and you're singing some note that isn't in the key of C.
Right. So it's relating it to the chords.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. So if I try to sing something that's
pretty cool. Because the software that I use, I don't know if they actually has that capability or anything, but it just knows, you know.
It knows based on algorithms.
Yeah, you don't actually have to have it compared to anything or whatnot. Let's get in number
get a couple more before another two. Okay.
And we'll come back with seven after a couple more songs, I guess. But number six, complete the picture painted by your music. The songs we perform aren't written nor recorded in a day-to-day atmosphere. It is an alternate reality with strong emotional and chemical charges. Writing music is extraordinary and sometimes transcendental. So clothes and external props can help to complete the picture of this place.
That's good advice for sure. Yeah. So what you wear on stage should have to do more with the type of material you're singing.
Yeah, I guess that's the long way around of saying it, I suppose. But yeah. You're...
And speaking of wearing clothes on stage that have to do with your persona and your act, this is a band here. It's called Kiss, and this is Domino from Kiss Alive 3.
All right. Let me tell you my story. I got a man-sized predicament. It's a big one. Goes like this. Never had a home, never had no regular, until I met down below. Ain't the folks of men know that I can lose. Got no hesitations, cause she kisses like the kisses. Yeah.
David Bowie there. Fame.
He's got a, would you say he has a brand? Even though he doesn't market it as a brand, I don't think. I think he definitely has a
The well-defined Bowie brand
persona, defined story. No, he has many stories. That's his thing. Yeah, he changed his persona many times.
I think it was almost like with each record was a new
persona.
You know, yeah.
There was Iggy.
And a new branding, you know.
Ziggy. Like,
yeah.
Aladdin Sane. The Heroes guy.
And the way that he looked and that kind of thing, you know. And some of the changes over the years, I guess, too, but...
Is he known as the chameleon of rock?
But yeah, he's definitely a brand. What about the ones that have, I mean, I go back to Kiss again, like Dolls and things like that. Are there other bands that have Dolls and stuff like that? Like, let's take a here, Slash.
Lunch the hat. Bales.
That's branding, man. The hat, Slash, the hair and the hat, you know, kind of thing.
Yes.
I think that's branding.
And he's probably like one of the first rock guys to probably start actually branding himself, maybe. And I want to say that some brands came about just like what you said there in tip number 6, just by the way they, as artists, were creating and performing their music. Their brand was being created for them without them actually realizing it. And then you utilize that persona and whatever stuff they're projecting into your brand as well. So you sell that idea to your target demographic.
And then in thinking of some other bands that you know, as far as branding goes, like Steven Tyler,
he's a brand,
you know.
Yeah.
The rags and the, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that was branding style, and the big feather ear, you know, the whole gypsy look and that kind of thing. That's that's some branding.
Well, it's his persona, that's for sure. And but having said that, you can see that he took a lot from Mick Jagger.
True. He took his lips, too.
He took his lips and placed them on his lips. And as one, they created the rock and roll kiss.
Who else can we think of off the top of our heads that right away you think branding or marketing?
Metallica.
Or,
you know?
geez, branding. Yeah, I think the thing that comes to mind for me with Metallica is the way that they write their name.
Yeah,
that's
the logo of Metallica.
What else is there for Metallica, do you think? I mean, they definitely have the persona and the style, and you know, is that I think a lot of that might, for me, fall under marketing and some other areas maybe, and you know, I don't know. Yeah, I guess branding too. Branding, I always think of the gimmick thing, like something like, you know, that brand that stands out like as if it was on a shelf.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So we're talking about branding, and we were just talking about Metallica. What is it for you? I mean, Hetfield feels a little bit like a brand to me, maybe, but...
No, I just think the whole Metallica thing, like, they've been around long enough. Like I said, the brand kind of creates itself. Before you even realize the importance of the brand, you kind of define what the brand is before you actually, you're not even consciously thinking this is our brand. And, you know, there's that band there that wrote a story, and then that's how they define themselves pretty much. I guess Metallica's, the way they, you know, they've been in the news, they've been controversial, they've come out with some awesome music, they've come out with some films. So their story is well known to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're listening to the Stones. I just watched Goodfellas the other night, and this song was in there. So I just thought, the Rolling Stones. How about the lips and the tongue sticking?
That's
out?
Branding.
Could you put that on a shelf?
Huge branding. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. This is.
Used to have that sticker.
This is Gimme Shelter.
Okay, let's check out number 7 here on the list as we're talking about branding. It is put it in your contract.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Let's find out what they say. And this is from Kendall Diz, attorney at law. Okay. So unless you have a lot of time, something else is going to have to do a lot of your marketing for you. If you decide to sign with a label, it's going to be the label doing it for you. In just about every recording contract, there will be clauses addressing who controls the band's likeness and name and how they can be used. And taking the hands-off approach could lead to the label making your album cover for you.
Hmm. That's no good, as Peter Frampton knows.
If you have some marketing technique and branding that you feel strongly about, you want to make sure it's in your contract that you either control it or that these things remain a constant, perhaps. Or
you don't get the final say as a record company. But the music industry as a whole is getting away from record companies. But having said that, that's where a lot of brands and bands thrive.
A great point to bring up, because of the fact that bands are primarily doing everything on their own and everything's done on the internet, and it's, you know what I mean? You're putting out your music out there. You're having your music distributed. You're doing it yourself or through CD Baby or iTunes or whatever it is.
Right.
So it's you controlling all these things. So you really need to take a good hard look at your branding and marketing and whatnot, because how do you want to be portrayed? What's going to help you sell your music and your records and your album covers, your name, the type of music, the way that your band looks, your persona of the guys in your band or girls or whatever. But you have to look at all these things, especially now that you're doing it yourself.
Yeah, and it's good for bands, I think, that they can have more of a say in what their brand is going to be defined as.
And on the show next week,
we're going to have Liv Tyler talking about what's it like living with Steven Tyler.
We can probably do that.
But we're not going to.
No, not. It's too late now.
Too late.
So next week on the show,
we're going to get into another genre. One that's near and dear to neither of our hearts, I think. But we're going to talk about...
Oh, I like it.
Well, I like it too, but it's not yeah, something that we're knee-deep in or whatever that we have a
lot
of.
It's a genre show.
It's a genre show. So should we just surprise them? No, it's
let's tell
C&W.
We'll talk about the difference between country and Western.
And how it's in the state of the country music industry today.
Why didn't they just end up calling it Western? Why did it just go to country?
That's what I want to know. Let's do some research.
Go down to the Western concert. Western festival.
If you can market yourself with one name, that's pretty good. Like Cher or Madonna. This is Prince.
Not even a name. A symbol. He's back to Prince now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's back to Prince. So this is Prince's Purple Rain.
Okay, so we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
Bye. We'll be right back.
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.